What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. As you're watching this, we're recording this on Monday, February 10th, 2025, 2:40 p.m. on the left coast, in case we missed something between now and when you see us. But this is still weekly Skews. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. Congratulations to Philadelphia Eagles fans for their crushing.
Well, and also the world, in my opinion. My genuine opinion is the entire football watching world outside of Kansas City and maybe Dallas, Washington, and New York Giants fans, I would imagine. I have to think almost everybody else was for the Eagles. I know I was for sure.
Yeah, most people at the Super Bowl party I was at were even though I'm technically a Cowboys fan, I don't really I just wanted to see a good game, and instead we got was a huge ass whipping. Not just in the game, but also the halftime show. We'll get to that in a second. But did you see the story about how the NFL took its "end racism" like tagline out of the end zone just for the Super Bowl?
I didn't know they were taking it out just for the Super Bowl. I saw the headline
probably
about
going
it.
Forward, but yeah, okay. it's been in the end zone since the George Floyd protests, and they just like Trump went to the Super Bowl and they took. I continue to be astounded by all the things people think this election was about. Like it's just like,
right.
But also, I had this really funny mental image of like the, I know it's AstroTurf, but like pretend it's regular turf for a second, just rolling out a backhoe to like scoop up "end racism" and lay back down, continue racism.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just leave racism there. Like just racism. The NFL, racism. I mean, I will
a
say.
Question mark, racism? Or no, exclamation point, racism. That's what we're doing.
I never know how to feel about these types of things in general, meaning like I've always kind of rolled my eyes at that ever since.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because it's like, it's so, I guess the word is performative or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it's like the NFL is like, you don't give a fuck. You don't give a fuck about anything. And like, so whenever big, huge corporations do that type of very like, low level fucking gesture or whatever, it's like I'm always kind of like, oh, go fuck yourself. But
I mean,
but them having done it and then taking it out after this election and with Trump going to the Super Bowl and all that stuff, that it's like, I don't know, it's just like the NFL as an entity can't hit for me no matter what they do.
Right. Also, I mean, like the NFL is an institution which, you know, has the fake Rooney rule to go through the motions of like trying to hire minority coaches, then still never hire black coaches.
Right.
And then they also just got caught like a couple years ago, trying to rig the concussion settlement systems to not play black players based upon the premise they had lower starting brain function. So like the idea that they're like, it's just like, okay, just fuck off. But, I want to talk about the halftime show, man. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Yeah. A lot of conservatives did not hit for them.
No, you sure about that? That can't be right. That doesn't sound right to me.
I saw a bunch of people calling it satanic, and then here's Matt Walsh, you know, conservative influencer, saying bizarre decision by the NFL to have some guy come out and lethargically mumble a bunch of songs that 90% of the NFL audience has never heard.
Shit. Yeah. All right. Is it the Pulitzer or the Peabody that Kendrick won? A Pulitzer? He won the.
I know he won a Pulitzer. Probably won a Peabody too, but yeah.
One of those two, he's the only non-jazz musician to have ever won one. He's like one of the most decorated and celebrated artists of our time by any conceivable metric, in addition to commercial success. So when this is like a kind of a version of when these guys act like. Like Kevin Sorbo hits or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when they're like, you know, who's real thespian is that Kevin Sorbo. That's who we like. Or it's like, I think, you know, fucking James Woods, Robert De Niro can't touch James Woods. Like when they do that type of shit, this is like a bizarro version of that, where it's like, you can hate him as much as you want because you're racist or whatever, but you cannot front like he's not the dude of his generation, you know? Like,
but they seem to think it was like an affront in some way, like it was improper to have. But first of all, like they were like, well, first of all, Kendrick was booked for this way before the election, right? This is no response to anything or whatever. It's just like the fact that he was the world's biggest artist when they didn't need to pick who wanted to do who's going to do it, and he wanted to do it. That's basically the logic of operations here. But they were saying the halftime show should have been the Village People doing YMCA with Trump dancing. It's like, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God. You know, that's like kind of how they used to work. Did you know that? The halftime show? I think the Michael Jackson did the halftime show in like 89 or 90 or something like that. And it was a massive production. And ever since then, every year, it's been crazy like that. Mm-hmm. But the year before Michael Jackson and every year previous, when the Super Bowl was still a pretty big deal, but not like it is now, but still big, the halftime show would be like an Elvis impersonator or like stupid people tricks and stuff like that. But,
The lady who does the NBA halftime shows where she rides a unicycle and stacks plates.
Yeah, well, that lady's fucking legit. I do have to say, like, I 100% knew they were going to be pissed off at Kendrick because, well, hey, he's an outspoken black man who's on the largest stage in the world. So there's that. But also, I mean, part of why it hit for me is because there was definitely some messaging to it. You know what I mean? Like with the Samuel L. Jackson character and a lot of the stuff that he was doing, he was definitely, he was doing what he does. You know, he had something to say. And so this time around, whenever them being like, I'm just not surprised that they're offended by it because it's like, yeah, well, you know, you probably should have been offended of it because it's directed at you in the way that you are. So
they didn't understand them. I mean, like, Kendrick was not like he did songs that have verses about like the logistics of the slave trade, but he did not do those verses.
That whole thing about you picked the right, what'd he say? You picked the right time, but you picked the wrong guy.
Right.
And like, and the whole Samuel L. Jackson's whole thing, like,
But the other conservative reaction was like, this is the very patriotic because they had people are wearing American flags. So people legitimately had that reaction to it.
Right.
Which is like
if he was white, they would have all had that reaction to it.
Right.
Even if it was, you know,
which is like, I remember I was thinking about like the video for Freedom Got an AK by the Lynch Mob, which is like has an Uncle Sam character in it, like holding the gun and stuff. They might've thought that was patriotic, even though the lyrics are all about how you got to murder all the white children. Mm-hmm. but like the reaction to it was like the mainstream conservative reaction of hating it and calling it satanic and shit was really funny. Like, because they seemed like they felt like Kendrick was being, what's the word, insolent or something? Like they talking about the people's takeaways from this election. Like they seem to be like this mass delusion that Trump's win represented like a total cultural victory because he won a plurality of the popular vote or something. Like now rap music doesn't exist anymore or something because Trump won. Or like halftime show should be Forgiato Blow and Ted Nugent.
Right.
So do you see I didn't notice if it made the broadcast, but the Palestinian flag protest?
No. I did not.
One of the dancers unfurled a flag that had Sudan and Gaza written on it. And the guy, it was a bit frightening at first because obviously he got tackled by security, which that's going to happen. I don't think he didn't anticipate that happening. But the New Orleans police were like, he's been detained. They were looking into possible charges. And I was like, charges? Then he got released and they didn't charge him. I was like, this is a new level if we're really good. Put people in prison for waving a flag at a halftime show, but they didn't do that. He got a lifetime ban from NFL facilities, which that was probably baked in. That's their call. It's whatever. The guy's name is Zulkarnain Mutombo. I read an interview with him and he said he was partially inspired by Kendrick's revolutionary messaging during rehearsal. And I was like, so here's a guy who thought it was he wasn't confused by the messaging of it at all.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying there's definitely some message, but also it's like, but look, I know that we talk politics here, but I don't want to get out of the Kendrick halftime show conversation without at least mentioning that at this point, this so far concludes what I think might be the single biggest L that any human being has ever taken on behalf of one Aubrey Drake, whatever his real last name is. But Drake the rapper, I'm sure y'all know, even our fans, I'm sure know, they had a huge beef and it spawned the fact that Kendrick's exclamation point on the beef that he was already winning just so happened to be the like banger of the summer, one of the biggest hits of the entire year, wherein there are lyrics straight up calling you a pedophile and just dunking all over your ass. And then he wins as many Grammys for that song as Drake has won in his entire career combined. And then he does the Super Bowl and has the whole fucking world calling Drake a pedophile at the same time. It's just, I can't even there's no higher plane of haterdom or whatever than it's just so incredible. And that was my favorite part of the whole thing. Like a lot when he got to the, hey Drake, and he like smiled right at the camera. He's like, hey Drake, I heard you like them young. That It's just great. It's just great. Right.
No, it was just a really enjoyable his show in general, even regardless of any sort of political messaging or whatever. But also, I really enjoyed Drake's. He brought out Drake's ex, Serena Williams,
to Seawalk out there. Yeah, it was the whole thing. Just awesome, you know. And it's like, well, musically, I was on Kendrick's side. As a white guy, we should continue speaking on this, obviously. But I would have been on Kendrick's side.
We just continue avoiding getting to the show to talk about.
But well, this hits from it, but. But the fact that Drake has this, the allegations, the things that people said, the rumors and all that stuff, it's like, it just, it makes it a like light versus darkness type thing to me, where it's, there's like a right side and a wrong side any way you look at it, is what I'm saying. And and the right side won in a landslide. So it's just, it hits for me. But anyway, yes, we will now get to the show after these messages from me. Listen, go to treycrowder.com if you want to see me do stand up live and in person, which you should want to do. We've been having fun out there in spite of everything. I'll be in Kentucky this weekend, then the Carolinas after that, then Florida, and then the Midwest again, and the Northeast, New England, all over the place in the near future. Go to treycrowder.com and come and see me. It is fun. All right. If you enjoy this program and think it's fun, you want to show us your support, you could do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can just go to Patreon and search for my name. You'll find it either way. $5 a month gets you access to 2 full-length bonus episodes, which are just additional episodes of this show. But every now and then, for a treat, we do an interactive Q&A episode where we answer your burning questions. So, if you like this show, you're going to love that, because it's just this show, but there's more of it. So please consider signing up on Patreon. Now, as for the show tonight, we're going to be talking about Elon again, everybody's favorite. But, the whole conversation right now is framed around, this is cost cutting. It's efficiency. Mm-hmm. This needed to be done. He's cutting back on waste, fraud, and abuse. You'll never believe that. Believe this. But we think that's bullshit. We'll tell you why a little later. But first, we have the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, the Venezuelan deep state for gifting the teenagers of the gang Trendiagua mech suits that turn invisible. I knew I was going to fuck that up. All right. Hit it.
Second Trendiagua link complex, ICE was met by activists who taunted them.
Lovely.
And others who used megaphones to coach those living inside.
So they've been doing this big high profile raids. I want to throw some numbers at you. So like the ICE put out a press release saying there were these raids, this apartment complex we're talking about in Aurora, Colorado.
That time ago. Wow.
Yeah. They said they were going after 100 members of Trendiagua. They managed to arrest 30 people, and one person was Trendiagua. That's according to their own numbers.
That checks out.
So trying to figure out what's happening here, because like they're taking like state media apparatuses on like Fox News and Dr. Phil on these raids, but not telling local media what they're up to. So you got to take everything they're doing with a grain of salt. But if you go to Google and you Google ICE raids, you'll see a bunch of stuff. Like, for example, let me read from this article. Quick Google searches for ICE operations, raids, and arrests return a deluge of government press releases. Headlines include ICE arrest 85 during 4-day Colorado operation. New Orleans focuses targeted operations on 123 non-citizens. And in Wisconsin, ICE arrest 83 criminal aliens. But a closer look at these ICE reports tells a different story. The one in Colorado was from November of 2010. 123 people in New Orleans, February of last year. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin was 20 of 18. One example in the press releases goes back to 2008, about 44 quote absconders in Nebraska. They've just updated the dates from the press release to gain the search engine optimization.
Okay. See, we've talked about this before anytime it comes up, but it's like, is this whole thing just meant to like, a mirage of an effort by the Trump administration? Mm-hmm. So they can placate their people and be like, look, he did it, because on a day-to-day basis, nothing is going to change for anybody because they weren't dealing with it to begin with. So they see all these headlines and they're like, he fixed it. There's no Mexicans anymore, right? Mm-hmm. They never saw any anyway. And then they're happy. Meanwhile, they don't actually have to do any of that, except for some of the unlucky bastards who get swept up in it. But like, if that is what they're doing, is that, I mean, that's better than it's shitty of them, but it's better than them sending everybody to a fucking concentration camp, right? Them lying about it.
Well, they're just getting started. It's worth remembering. Right. They're trying to make a big splash at first, but like they basically they're trying to fire like I don't know half the FBI and make the rest of the FBI get involved in immigration enforcement. Like, yeah. So we're not going to investigate like drugs, counterintelligence, human trafficking anymore. White collar crime. White collar crime is totally illegal now. You guys have at it, but we're gonna have FBI agents trying to round, and they're doing low hanging fruit. So instead of going after actual criminals, they're just going to like schools and hospitals and shit to try to get the numbers up, right? So they're definitely going to be doing it. But as far as this stuff, yeah, they're either trying to look busy or scare people, probably a little bit of both. Maybe if Trump Googles stuff, you can see they look like they're doing a lot of shit. But I want to throw some numbers at you, okay? There were 30,000 border apprehensions in January. That's a 5-year low.
Mm-hmm.
We have about 26,800 soldiers and border agents deployed right now at the border. For about 30,000 migrant apprehensions. So another way to put that is about each person is capturing about 1.1 migrants per month.
I want to make a joke about general that tracks with my experience of having worked for the federal government in any capacity, but you know, I also don't want to sound like I'm backing up Doge over here.
Right.
That's hilarious. What one migrant per soldier per agent. Per month. I was like, what are they doing down there?
I hope they have games on their phones.
Yeah.
But the thing is I think it's partially because deterrence, because people are horrified by what Trump might do, and word is spread on like WhatsApp or whatever throughout Central and South America. But like, I also just think fewer people are coming here because I've said on the show before, the main way to curb immigration is to destroy the American economy and make it a shittier place to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess people are reading the news.
Okay. Speaking of people reading the news, just to be a devil's advocate here, wouldn't a lot of MAGA people say, and this is kind of a version of what you said a minute ago, but that if fewer people are coming here, it's because they know they can't fuck with Trump. That's why. They know Trump don't take that shit. He's laid the law down and they know it. And that's why they've stopped. And that means it's working either way. Like that would be their argument, right?
But I don't disagree with the premise that treating people horrifically and violently will deter them from coming to the United States. I just think we ought not be doing that.
Yeah, of course I agree.
Because I think we need more people coming to the United States. Right. That's a whole other thing. So another leopard's eating faces thing, and I take no pleasure in this shit, but I was reading this Washington Post article this morning about Doral, Florida, a suburb of Miami. So about 40% of the people who live in Doral have ties to Venezuela. And the city swung hard for Trump in 2024 after swinging mildly for it in 2020. Here's a guy named John De La Vega, who's a Venezuelan-American immigration lawyer and an Army veteran, said, quote, "The Venezuelan community gave President Trump their support. This is completely different of what I thought it was going to be." I'm like, my brother in Christ.
Right.
You're an educated man. You're an immigration lawyer.
Yeah.
Because what Trump is doing is removing their temporary protected status that made them legal, saying they're legal and starting to deport people, right?
Yeah, but this is completely different than what I thought it was going to be. How is that? What did you think it was going to be? I just can't get over this shit.
One thing we have to get used to is like, you do not have to admit you were wrong. You just need to accept that you were lied to. So he might be doing messaging here to try to give people space to change their minds. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just calling people stupid does not work. So maybe
people hate to admit they're wrong. You're right. So if you reframe it as you were deceived, then you can get more people on board that way.
So let me quote here. It's a woman named Andrea Gabriela Rangel Walther. She's among those who thought Trump would shield Venezuelans from deportation. She said the overwhelming majority of her friends and family supported Trump, including her father, who is now at risk of being removed from the country. His temporary protected status expires in April. Quote, "He knows all Venezuelans aren't Trende Aragua." Does he,
no,
Andrea?
100% does not. It's not even does he? It's like, no, he does not. They all of his most fervent supporters, they don't know either. I said that in one of the videos I made about it. And they're like, they're just going to deport, criminals or whatever. It's like, I'm a hardworking South American immigrant or whatever. He doesn't mean me. I'm not a criminal. And it's like, yes, you are. To them, you are. Mm-hmm. That's how these people work. I don't know. Right. I mean, I do feel bad for some of these people for sure, but mm-hmm. you know, I just don't know what they thought was going to happen.
There's some 1984 doublespeak here, because whatever's going on with the Trump administration in Venezuela and Hugo Chavez, Maduro is their current dictator. As near as I can tell, what's happening is because of getting less oil from Canada, we need to open up the oil pipelines back from Venezuela after trying to crush their economy to defeat communism for the last 30 years or whatever. So Rubio went down there and acted like they're our friends now. And part of that deal is either they're going to be willing to take back a bunch of Venezuelans, or we give them back a bunch of Venezuelans because you gotta remember, these are people that fled the country because they hate socialism. Mm-hmm. Okay. They've probably been all over their social media for years and years calling for the overthrow of Maduro. And these people are rightfully horrified that the Trump administration is going to ship them back to a country that probably will see them as political enemies and criminals. Okay.
Right.
So, talk about the 1984 Newspeak stuff. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem, in her termination notice about the temporary protected status, she said that Venezuelans no longer needed protection, in part because there had been, quote, notable improvements in several areas such as the economy, public health, and crime. So there's pretending, they spent decades pretending that right. Venezuela was a threat to the national security of the United States.
And now, socialist hellhole.
Right. And now they're pretending that everything's going great there.
Right.
So we can ship people back to be imprisoned and tortured or whatever. By the way, the first 30 detainees arrived at new concentration. They're building the tents right now. They're just using the military prison that's already there. So you got 30 people down there. And according to the federal government, they're all Tren de Aragua. We just established they can't find any Tren de Aragua because there aren't that many. Mm-hmm. Okay. An obliquely funny thing on the immigration and refugee front. Over the weekend, Trump announced that while nobody else can come to America anymore, white South Africaners, Afrikaners, are welcome to be political refugees to the United States.
yeah, well, they got it tough over there, Mark. I don't know if you've heard, but it's been hard for them. They've been persecuted by the other people of their country just for being white, for no other reason at all.
well, they're not even. Here's it. So this is about memes, right wing internet memes about white genocide.
Okay? Right.
What the right wing internet tells itself is that the black government of South Africa is persecuting the white citizens that remain there and confiscating their land to give to black people. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So just to put some facts in this situation, the government's official stance is they take unused or publicly owned land to give to citizens who've suffered under generations of apartheid. Private land is confiscated only rarely and is intended to address the disparities created by apartheid. This has been documented by outside media. This is not just government propaganda. So they're basically doing 40 acres and a mule with government land and unused land. Okay. Last time anybody did a land survey, Afrikaners, you know, the white South Africans, make up only 8% of the population, own 3/4 of the country's farmland still. Black people, comprise 80% of the population, own 4%. So this is not like, if they're taking all their land, they're not doing a very good job of it.
Okay. Right.
And if you want the proof, I can give you a quote here from groups who represent some of South Africa's white minority. When they heard about this offer, they announced basically thanks, but no thanks, because what's actually happening is Trump is trying to get them off their land.
Mm-hmm. I read South Africa and just assumed this was another Elon thing behind the scenes.
Right.
Is it like, mm-hmm. Has that been reported or? One way or the other.
About last week, right? That like his mom's family moved there specifically for apartheid and left when it was over. Like,
yeah, no, like I mean this move yeah. that they've done, like that it was Elon saying to.
I mean,
to do it.
It could be the whole PayPal mafia, like Musk, Peter Thiel, David Sachs. They're all South African. This could come from anybody. Trump could just read his own Twitter mentions, but like, in fact, you can't understand anything these people do without knowing why a bunch of Twitter users have Rhodesian flags in their bios, okay? Rhodesia lasted 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Between Rhodesia and the Confederacy, there's nothing racist losers love more than things that collapse immediately. Speaking of which, let's talk about Doge.
Yeah. Also Nazi Germany. I mean, not immediately. They did a little better in those other two. But yeah, that's always been the... I didn't know as much about Rhodesia or whatever, but I always thought, you know, like the Confederacy and the Nazis are two of the most famous losers in all of human history. Those two and Drake, I think, are make up the top three. But yeah, so, you know, it's just a funny thing to...
Not to sum up like a bunch of history, but basically when Britain got out of the colonialism game, or the direct colonialism game, pulled out of Africa, some white British settlers like, fuck no, we're keeping the country and we're calling it Rhodesia, and they went to war and they got their ass kicked eventually. But white Americans like Dylann Roof, when he shot up the church, was wearing a coat with a Rhodesian flag patch on it. So
is that Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe, or? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. I can't believe I got that right. All right. Anyway.
So When the election happened, I was like, I hope you guys living in a tech dystopia. And because I don't think people understand really currently where the power centers are in our country right now. I just really can't wrap my mind around like the binary nature of American elections. Like a few hundred thousand votes in three states are the difference between like basically normal stuff, not all great, but just normal stuff going normally. And then the other way, it's like, what happened over the weekend were like armed agents of the state were keeping members of Congress out of the Department of Education. And a guy named Big Balls is trying to take away everyone's Medicare.
Yeah. 19-year-old named Big Balls or whatever. Yeah. It's almost like it's ridiculous and should not be the way things work.
Yeah.
But there, you know, one side in particular benefits tremendously from the inherent biases in the system and keeps it that way because they probably wouldn't have a great shot otherwise.
Right.
And they just happen to be also insane. And so doing all the crazy shit.
Brief Big Balls update. Turns out he owns a company called Tesla.sexy that sells an AI bot for Russian Discord servers. He also just got appointed to be a senior advisor in the State Department. So I guess we're going to coup whatever country poorly built his sex robot. A couple other Doge Kid updates. One resigned over the weekend and then got rehired. He resigned over some people dug up some of his old racist tweets. Yeah. This wasn't like a case of stupid things he wrote years ago as like a 13-year-old. He posted in September about how we should, quote, normalize Indian hate. And then J.D. Vance defended him, even though he's got an Indian wife. So, yeah.
Right. JD has literally defended this specific person that's been brought up to him. Dude, my God, dude, that's pathetic. But I was walking through the Salt Lake City airport, going to, you know, get on the plane to fly back home Sunday morning. And I was in the lounge, not bragging. And I was just like sipping my coffee, walking by, and I saw the TV was on the news. And the headline at the bottom said, Elon Musk says employee fired for racist tweets, quote, should be reinstated immediately or whatever. It was like, it just cracked me up because it seemed like, it felt like it's very believable, but it felt like a made up version of like, if you just happen to check the headlines, do you know what I mean? To see, let's see what's going on. And it's something ridiculous. That's what it felt like. Like, of course he's defending like on what basis, you know, it's like, he's a hell of a good coder
I don't think like saying a kid's whole life shouldn't be ruined because of things he posted at the age of 20 years old. Probably fair. I don't think he should be in charge of the fucking government, though. It's totally different things. Also, he resigned. He wasn't fired. Anyway, so I need to warn you when I tell you about this next Doge kid, I'm about to put together a string of words that you've never heard in this order in your life. Okay. Another Doge bro has been linked to a satanic neo-Nazi cybercrime ring that extorts child porn from minors.
What? That is brutal. That sounds like the type of thing, other than the Nazi part, which would hit for them, but other than that, it sounds like the type of thing that like
QAnon would be all over, right?
Their base would make up and lose their minds over. And so of course one of the guys in the inner circle is literally doing that. But go on though, because that's like that's a big allegation.
Right. Like he's basically on the same forums as them. I haven't seen any direct reporting. He's actually a member of this organization, which is called 764. Also, like, has ideological ties to a group called the Order of Nine Angles, which is a right wing Satanist terror network. Classified as a terror group by the U.S. Department of Justice. So he probably shouldn't be working in the government. This is a group that, like, when you join it, you have to pledge to kill yourself in a live stream. Okay. So just very normal fucking weird stuff. And like, that's one of the reasons, like, the internet's such a bizarre place with such niche subcultures.
No shit. Like,
most of it just pretend that don't exist all the time, because otherwise just knowing about it's a kind of psychic pain. But like, when people are in charge of the government, people should be aware of it. Right.
100%. But yeah, because I was thinking, it's like, man, normally satanic shit hits for me when I hear about it. You know what I mean? Like fucking heavy metal, or they're making some kind of political stance, you know, because normally they're anti-God and they, you know, they'd be doing, I feel like they're typically left aligned, the Satanists, when they show up. Because again, those are my people. But Satanists, neo-Nazis.
The quote unquote Main Street Satanist organizations you're talking about don't believe in any, they're atheists who are just trolling. We talked about them before. These people actually believe in a dark lord and want to do murder. That's the difference.
It's a little different. Yeah.
Right. So,
yeah, that, just to be clear, that don't hit for me, everybody. All right. The type of metaphorical Satan fucking rocks, and that's my boy. But this Satan, child blood drinking Satan, I'm not down with that. I'll make a strong statement. I'm not okay with that. All right. So,
Silicon Valley investor Jason Calacanis has pledged to invest $250,000 in every Doge Kids startups. So think about this: if you're a career fellow employee, you just lost your job because of these dipshits, you're gonna starve to death. Your career has been taken away, and these kids get funding for their new Roomba competitor with a gun that shoots your maid or whatever. Uh-huh. I am beginning to go insane, because if I see another like mainstream media organization talk about Doge's efforts at cost cutting, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. Mm-hmm. Elon does not care about cost cutting, mainly because Elon does not pay taxes.
Right. Well, also him and Trump have been talking, you know, very like headline grabbing versions of talking about, like, you know, we're trying to cut way back on what the federal government spends. Also, we're going to go to fucking Mars. And we're going to take over Gaza. Like, we're just going to take control of that and run the whole thing, build a great, lovely community. And it's like, none of that shit sounds cheap to me, man. You know,
we're going to make money off Gaza, because we're going to start Sandals Gaza.
Well, yeah, those people will make money. They'll it would be taxpayer dollars that got it started, and then they would privateer off of it later. And it's fucking bullshit.
Yeah. So the frustrating thing about our media landscape is it's truly hard to talk about satanic Nazi pedophile cult. Like, it's really hard for the mainstream media for normies anywhere to understand how strange these guys have gotten on the internet, which is why tech media has been doing a better job of covering a Doge in the new administration. I'm talking about Wired and 404 Media. If you guys want to get some actual insightful takes on this stuff. But there's three main things Doge is up to, I think, besides cost cutting. There's normal corruption. All right. The second part of it's an extremely crooked as fuck attempt to get a government bailout of all their shitty, dumb tech investments. And the third part is a desire to remake the United States into a techno-libertarian, quote, utopia, which is the fever dream stuff, which we probably won't get to today. But so the three things I'll talk about are regulatory capture, the bursting of the AI bubble, and the fever dream part is something called the network state, where they want to dissolve America into crypto fiefdoms. Okay. I don't think that's what they're getting to yet, but we'll probably, hopefully won't get to a point where I have to talk about it, but just know that it exists. The regulatory capture part of this is pretty straightforward. This is nothing new for big business, obviously, but at least when Exxon does it, you get gas out of the situation to put in your family minivan to go to grandma's house. Okay. Elon's basically working with Russ Vaught, the new OMB director, to try and destroy the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Musk tweeted over the weekend that it's been deleted, which I don't know what that means. We need to say up front, these agencies are established by acts of Congress. The executive branch has no authority to have them stop operating. That's not, that's totally unconstitutional. And people say it's the coup is what they're talking about.
Right. Because isn't the idea that they don't have the authority to do it, but they're just going to do it. And it's who's going to stop them? But also it's they don't technically disband it. They just send everybody home and shutter it or withdraw funding or whatever. So it's effectively over, but they didn't kill it.
But we talk about they're not when Congress passes spending bills, they're obligated to spend the money. The executive branch executes laws.
But,
yeah. So
Congress has to stop
do
that,
something.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Right. Well, you know, I think most people just assume they're not going to. So,
right. They're just not going. I mean, I don't know. Sure. The real remedy here is impeachment removal. But good luck. The CFPB, this happens at the same time that Musk is fully pivoting. Since he bought Twitter, he's been wanting to turn it into a payments app, the everything app. That's what he calls it that. He wants you to be able to send money over it too, use it for your banking and shit. And the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau will be the agency that's in charge of keeping you from getting fucked by X the bank. Okay. So that's why he's putting that out of business, so he can fuck you. Do not put your money in X. And the idea that they basically always try to say that the Financial Protection Bureau is duplicative, and it's, well, that's horseshit. The reason it's created is there's no other regulatory agency whose job it is to look out for consumers being ripped off by complex financial products like the fake banking apps that aren't banks coming out of Silicon Valley. And for context here, one of these fintech things that pretends to be like has the feel of a bank that isn't a bank because it's not insured, not regulated. One of them owned by Mark Andreessen, who's also part of Doge, just collapsed and went under, and a million, like hundreds of thousands of people, I think, lost their life savings. And now there's no recourse for them because this agency is the only one who would do anything about it, doesn't exist.
Is that because they're not legitimate banks? I mean, like, I thought the FDIC, I thought was supposed to be what protects, like, from what you just said, like an actual bank collapsing. You know, the FDIC is what's supposed to keep regular people from getting fucked over. But it was because these things are, they're pseudo banks. They're like crypto bullshit, you know, analogs. So
they're the gas station dick pills to actual Viagra.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So they're just scams. It's just a scam.
Right.
So it reminded me of like the, a line from we're not going to go back into like, old middle-aged white guys talking about rap discourse, but my favorite Los Angeles-based Filipino-American communist rapper, Bamboo, I can't call nobody when these banks is trying to rob me. Fuck it, light a match, right? So there was a union protest by employees of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau over the weekend. Not one member of Congress showed up, probably because the Senate adjourned till Monday by unanimous consent. Every Democrat consented to it. So they got a second consecutive long weekend. Good job, guys. Thank you. If you're wondering what's taken so long for any sort of resistance, this kind of made me so fucking laugh so hard because it's so dumb. Representative Mark Pocan, I don't know how to say it, as a Democrat from Wisconsin, last Wednesday rolled out the Eliminate Looting of Our Nation by Mitigating Unethical State Kleptocracy Act, the Elon Musk Act. Which would ban special government employees like Musk from having federal contract. They basically, my guess is it took them 2 weeks to figure out what to name the act, so it spelled out Elon Musk.
Guarantee you.
Democracy dies doing bits, guys. This is not a fucking point.
I mean, everybody knows this, but yes, the government, they love acronyms. The longer, the better. If they can make them make sense like this, they get off over this shit. They absolutely love it. It's like literally a bit from a Armando Iannucci movie, the movie In the Loop. They have a whole bit about this. And I guarantee you it took like a committee of staffers slash interns or whatever, a long time to work out what the name of the. And again, it's like when you say shit like that, and I know elected officials are different from like executive agency employees, but it's like, you know, if you said that type of thing in front of an Elon acolyte or whatever, they would be like, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to fix. But again, it's like, but you're not really though.
Right.
Like, yes, there's a lot of bullshit and waste and everything, but you're using that as cover to, you know, just enrich him further and all their other billionaire friends and stuff on top of it. So fuck
it. I want to push back on you because you always say that, like the federal government, like one of the reasons that even Republican administrations have difficulty cutting stuff is because there's not a lot of stuff to cut. What you're talking about is like federal employees showing up at 9:05 and leaving.
It's not just that. Right. I mean, we don't got to get it. There's other ways you could go about it. There's things that they do. The reason there's nowhere to cut from is because budgets are across the whole government are artificially inflated by departments spending money that they don't really need to, so they don't get their budget cut and that type of thing. So like
because they give it back, they never get it again. That's normal bureaucracy. Like private industry does the exact same fucking thing. Yeah, companies
do that too. I know.
Right. So I think we put the government like a different category where the government's actually less corrupt than the private sector, but like we all get mad about it because they have to respond to federal Freedom of Information Act requests and Exxon does not. Okay.
Yeah, and so, because it's our tax dollars.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, people take it very seriously.
It's your gas money, too, when Exxon spends it putting a pool into like a oil.
That's a good point. Yeah. People don't think about it that way, but you're right.
Right. So that brings us to the second part of this, which is like a big part of this, to me, is Silicon Valley getting bailed out of a bunch of horseshit investments, like bad bets they made on stupid ideas. Silicon Valley, you may have noticed, hasn't had a big new thing work in a while. Talking about stuff that failed, like Web3, NFTs, and now we all know that government is cryptocurrency's last big hope to make it make sense. Libertarian-ass crypto is begging for government help. The metaverse flopped so incredibly hard, even after Mark Zuckerberg renamed his whole company after it, because no one wanted to fucking go to work meetings in VR goggles where they didn't have legs. Sales of Apple iPhones have dropped since they introduced artificial intelligence. Like, no one wants any of this shit. And for good reason, because we're not going to get into it, but a Microsoft study came out today that finds that artificial intelligence makes human cognition, quote, atrophied and unprepared. It makes everybody who uses it dumber, and people know that, so they don't want to use it. So another way to put what these fucking investors and tech lords are doing is this is the big money people rebelling against the free market, because we, the insolent plebs, did not like the products they rolled out. They need to take over the government and force the government to buy it. All right. So since nobody else wants to use AI, my read on part of what they're doing is they're trying to nuke the functionality of the federal government and lay off all the human beings. And then all of a sudden there will be a line of tech bros with AI technology solutions to reinvent the wheel for four times the price and mandatory quarterly proprietary software fees.
Ow. Yay. You're making sense to me. Did you come up with this? Is this Mark's own personal theory about what's happening here? You be connecting the dots or?
No, I've seen a bunch of people with the same . But I was like, I think this is what's happening. And it's like, yeah, because this is basically what happens every time. It's like politicians love being presented with technological solutions to real world problems. Some of them work sometimes, but the main reason politicians love them so much is it offers them a way out of making hard choices. Mm-hmm. Because if the people need this service, but you will have to spend money on it, which means charging people taxes. They're like, well, what's the third option? And some guy, salesman with like a truckload of snake oil is like, well, what if we went on the computer? They're like, yeah, let's go on the computer. You take my money. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's the way out of fucking making hard decisions. And there's nothing politicians love more than way out of making hard choices. But the thing that drives me crazy about this, at this particular moment, trying to do this, even though AI doesn't really work, is that DeepSeek exists. The Chinese AI company that fucking destroyed Silicon Valley 2 weeks ago, and we're all pretending like it didn't.
Right. And that really was how that went down, right? Meaning it was a bombshell thing 2 weeks. It was not known. And then all of a sudden, it was like all this shit they'd been jerking themselves off for so long and pouring all this money and angel investors, all this shit and resources into, they've been working on for so long, billions of dollars, I assume. China just came out and was like, hey, ours is twice as good for a fourth the cost of whatever.
The cost is like 0.606% of what Silicon Valley spent. If you believe this Chinese company's numbers, they also use regular computer chips instead of the fancy NVIDIA chips that Silicon Valley has bet everything on. And it's basically the same thing as the newest version of ChatGPT, but they did it for way less. This small team of Chinese dudes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the thing in the first Iron Man movie is like, we can't build it. During Tony's, he did it in a cave.
With a box of scraps. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
This guy did it with a box of scraps.
Dude, they've been hoisted by their own capitalist petard here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it's like, there's a competitor that's better and cheaper and is leagues ahead of you.
Uh-huh.
The market says you should lose, but I guess not if you can convince the government to buy it instead. Right.
There you go. That's the scam. Okay.
Yeah.
So DeepSeek's AI also uses way less energy. So they basically, every problem, a lot of the problems with AI, other than the fact that a bunch of guys who work at Salesforce and McKinsey are going to pretend it works better than it does to fire human beings and let us all starve to death. The environmental problems, the cost, they beat it all. And Silicon Valley is stuck using this way more expensive, more energy, less energy efficient version. And they're just holding it. It's all they got. And they're like, well, we have to sell to somebody because otherwise, what the fuck are we doing?
Right.
So 2 weeks ago, NVIDIA shed almost $600 billion in market cap and the biggest one-day loss in U.S. history. And now it's basically two-thirds the way back up to where it was. What happened in the middle? Because ChatGPT did not get better. OpenAI did not get better.
Mm-hmm.
What happened besides Elon taking over the government? And I got nothing. And let me quote here from Chuck Schumer, like a social media post of his. The DeepSeek announcement from China has been called by some AI Sputnik moment for America. It is precisely why I made AI a top priority in the last Congress and will keep at it. Bro, Chuck, heart to heart, buddy. Let's take a walk with me back in history. Do you remember the race to 5G, Trey?
I mean, I was definitely around for it, but I don't remember what happened, what transpired during any of that.
For years, we were told we had to beat China in the race to 5G. It was very important for national security and the American economy to beat China in the race of 5G. Well, we lost the fucking race.
Mm-hmm.
Our 5G is more expensive and not as good. And what happened?
Right. Nothing.
Not a goddamn fucking thing.
Well, that's so what, like, you were talking earlier about how much better DeepSeek is than what we've got or whatever. But you also used, I mean, you know, you were just moving right along, and you said something like, it's a better version of ChatGPT, but for a fraction of the cost or whatever. And in my head, I was like, well, I mean, hell, even that is not, you know, that great of a thing, is it?
No.
Right. So, like, even this souped up version of AI that they've come up with over there, like, If it's ChatGPT times 50 or whatnot, it's like I'm still not that impressed by that. Like,
but if something is useless and stupid, it ought to at least also be cheap.
Right. Yeah. No. Right? No, I'm saying, what does that tell you about how shitty the American versions of it are? You know what I mean? Like, or what? Like,
it's also like this current iteration of American capitalism, which isn't even really capitalism, which is why they're trying to sell this to the government, is like, so what happened is all these guys got super wealthy by not actually making their product.
Right.
They were able to go back to get more and more investment by saying they needed more investment. And so they weren't actually doing anything. They were operating like people think the Department of Energy operates.
Yeah, okay? No, I know. Yeah. I remember when I first kind of put that together. I remember one of the many, maybe it was Silicon Valley, the show, or like the fucking the one about Elizabeth, what's her name from the you
Holmes.
Know Elizabeth Holmes, yeah, or any of those, but like realizing it's like, oh, they just like all these like big tech guru guys, a lot of they just lie. Like you literally con people into thinking you've got like the next big thing or whatever. And they just write you these huge checks for massive amounts of money.
And the fucking WeWork guy convinced people that commercial real estate was a tech business.
Right.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's rich now.
I'm about to say, doesn't that make you that part of it bother you? Know, it's not that I want to just like be a kleptocrat or nothing like that, but it's like that part also is annoying. It's like because it works so well for so many of these guys, you know what I mean? Like you work a job, whatever the job is for like your whole life, and then they just, you know, they just do the Silicon Valley version of conning and get millions of dollars on an island and private jets and all that shit for really nothing. It's crazy.
Another thing I want to say to Chuck Schumer is like the idea that they need government investment. AI startups captured 46% of all venture capital funding last year. The reason DeepSeek fucking humiliated them is not because they needed more money. And the fact that they did it for way less money should be the proof in the pudding, but no matter. Right. So now what's going on? This fucking floored me. So we're just going to pretend that it works so the government can keep it afloat so we can do dumb shit with it like this. So a guy named a congressman with the name of David Schweikert, Republican from Arizona, introduced a bill to legally allow artificial intelligence to qualify as a prescription drug prescriber. So what we'll have is an artificially intelligent doctor writing a prescription that an artificially intelligent insurance adjuster won't cover. Great system.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, this is crazy when you consider the way that like Google AI works and most people's experience, you know what I mean? Like there's just Googling a silly thing and it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like, can ducks swim? And it's like, no, ducks cannot swim according to this or whatever. And it's like, pretty sure ducks can swim. So you just apply that to,
we've made computers.
Healthcare is crazy.
They made it like because what you have is computers training off other computer generated stuff. Yeah. So they basically created a calculator that can't count how many R's are in strawberry.
Right.
And I saw that's one famous example. Like because it scans the web for information, including onion articles. It'll if you ask it how many rocks are healthy to eat a day, it'll tell you two. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a screen grab. I guess I guess porn has pivoted to using it to generate like storylines and titles, and no one's even thinking about them. I saw one the other day as a screen grab was like, "Stepmom fucks stepdad."
Yeah, so it's just wait.
Diagram this family for me, Trey.
Right. Yeah, I was about to say that's just a loving that's just a loving marriage. But then I was like, wait a minute, it can't be from the same perspective, both.
Certainly, somebody's stepmom has had an affair with somebody's stepdad. But that's not. Yes, right. That's not what's happening. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I never really understood how any of that shit. You know, I don't know. Porn titles are wild and all that. Like the, you know, it's just a regular porn scene, but they give it some crazy ass name or whatever. Right. And I mean, I guess it's a porn version of SEO, and that shit matters. So, whatever.
I guess, but I don't know who decided that everybody. Never mind.
The people decided, Mark. Anyway,
yeah, I guess people voted with their feet that everybody should be related. So, at his confirmation hearing, RFK Jr. claimed that Trump is going to save rural hospitals with AI nurses. Which is like, what the fuck? This isn't just magic beans, but like a JPEG of magic beans. And right. People clearly understand the path forward here because OpenAI rolled out their ChatGPT.gov last week. So they're going to replace all the federal employees with ChatGPT, basically. So when you go to get your passport, you'll get it back and the name on it will be like Trade Chowder.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not have a human being to appeal to get it fixed. So you will just have to be Trade Chowder the rest of your fucking life when you go out.
And
when
see,
you travel
I feel
abroad.
Like this angle you're taking right now, which makes sense, is one that people should be jumping on because everyone can relate to that idea of that happening. Meaning, like, I feel like almost everybody hates the fact that if you need customer service, you can't talk to a human being. It takes so long to get another person on the phone. And everybody universally across the board hates that shit. So, like, framing it as that this is turning your entire life into that process. Like, anything you ever need will work like that. Is that what you want, taxpaying American or whatever? You know, like, it feels like that's how people should be pushing it to me.
Democrats love it, too. They're all going to crypto conferences and shit. So, like, there's nobody who'll be like, the emperor has no clothes here. So on Elon's end of this, the guy that runs OpenAI, which runs ChatGPT, his name is Sam Altman, and he's Elon's got a death feud with him over the world. Do you know why, Trey?
No, I mean, I just assume it's some, you know, they shared a blood. What, he stole his blood boy, something like that. Sam Altman stole his blood boy away, and he's jealous.
It's even dumber than that. Okay, Elon used to be OpenAI.
He shot the homeless guy before Elon could on the annual the annual hunt on the island, and it was supposed to be Elon shot. So he's spurned.
That'd be rude. That's against the rules. So it's even dumber than that. So like. Elon used to be on the board of OpenAI and left in a huff because he thought like artificial intelligence is going to become God and therefore it's too dangerous. It needs to be restrained or go slower. Whereas Sam Altman thinks our AI will be God, but it's going to be a benevolent one. So they both believe AI is God. This can't believe whether it's Satan or Jesus. And I'm like, it's a thing that doesn't know what a stepmom is. So I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Right. So, but then Elon rolled it. So now Elon is like, wait, Sam Altman's stealing my grift here. I'm the one. I was going to put Grok in the government. He can't put OpenAI, ChatGPT in the government. So he started his own AI called GSAI. And then he also today offered to buy OpenAI for $97.4 billion, to which Sam Altman had a pretty funny burn. And no thanks, but if you want, I'll buy Twitter for $9.74 billion, which Elon bought it for
40-something or whatever. Yeah.
So... they also, oh my God, bro. They announced they're going to put OpenAI struck a deal with the US government to use its AI for nuclear weapon security.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So, it's like if Skynet was R worded, that's what we're doing now.
Right.
That's just take the like functionally illiterate version of Skynet and give it all the same powers that Skynet had in those movies and see how that goes.
At least if China puts DeepSeek in charge of its nukes, it's better than ours. So it won't hallucinate and launch. Artificial intelligence hallucinates shit all the time.
Buddy, are you kidding me with this? This is the craziest thing you've said the whole time. That's fucking nuts. We're put like Man, that's wild. Giving control of the nukes over to the robots. Again, not just the robots, but the dumbass version of robots we currently are all working with and living with. Right. Like, insane. So,
when I talk about hallucinating, let me tell you what I'm talking about. So you got AI comes in different sort of functions. ChatGPT is just a large language model. Like, you're trying to roll out agents, which are like, you basically, you task an AI to do a to do something for you, like book your travel or whatever. So it's columnist by the tech columnist from the Washington Post named Jeffrey Fowler tried to play with an AI agent, and he tried to get it to find it cheap eggs in his neighborhood. In less than 10 minutes, the AI, which is called Operator, bought a dozen eggs and paid a human to deliver them to my house on its own for $31.43.
That's a pretty good deal in Trump's America, you know?
So, like, they want to put this thing, which he asked to find cheap eggs, and it bought very expensive eggs.
Yeah.
So,
and
like,
instead, I bought your eggs a chauffeur. I've paid for a chauffeur for your eggs.
So, the breathtaking arrogance of these motherfuckers. Throw this post up here from a guy named John Sladecki, okay? Silicon Valley built the modern world. Why shouldn't we run it? Now, I just want to point out for here, not for nothing, the government built the internet and bankrolled nearly every tech innovation of the last 60 plus years, one way or the other, either from like subsidies, like Tesla would be dead without tech subsidies. NASA basically invented the internet, and Defense Department invented the internet. And then, of course, we talked about it a bunch back in 2023. Biden bailed out Silicon Valley Bank after the morons who had their money in it engineered their own bank run because they're all high on drugs in the same group chat.
Mm-hmm.
Sladecki, him saying this, Silicon Valley built the modern world. Why shouldn't we run it? His claim to fame was working at Roblox, the game that is famous for being favored by pedophiles because how easy it is for them to access kids.
Wow, what? See, Mark, you've upset me now. Mm-hmm. Not just upset me, but maybe I feel like an absent and an unattentive father here because mm-hmm. it's not just my son. Literally every kid I know the age of my sons, they're kind of growing out of it, thank God, because mm-hmm. they're 12 and 13 now. But the past few years, every kid, every cousin, every friend they had is their age. They fucking love Roblox, dude. You have no idea how much these kids love this Roblox shit. So that's alarming to hear what you just said.
Yeah.
I mean, I ain't letting mine go to no fucking Roblox meetups or nothing, obviously, but still. But,
like, you got super wealthy having a gaming platform. Like, can't you just be happy with that instead of, like, wanting to be the prefect of Minnesota or whatever? So, like, Sladecki certainly knows that Roblox has a pedophile problem because some guy from New Jersey was pretending to be Sladecki's brother on Roblox because of the clout that it gave him and was DMing dirty messages to 12-year-olds and shit. And he convinced one of them, he groomed them enough to get them to take an Uber that he paid from Indiana to New Jersey.
Okay. Oh my God.
The guy's in federal prison now. So Sladecki's like, I built a Grubhub for pedophiles to order kids off of. You should put me in charge of the EPA.
Right. Yeah.
The fucking arrogance of these people, man. And instead of like giving them money to bail them out of their bad ideas, like that we should like let large language models tutor your children and shit. We should tell them to fuck off.
Right. To an island somewhere, by the way. It's like you just alluded to a minute ago. They're all rich as fuck. It's not like we're not leaving them destitute or nothing. It's like, you just can't do this. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to allow you to do this. You can go take all your billions and do whatever the fuck people do with billions out there if you want to. We're certainly not going to tax you on it, but you can't run shit, you know? Like, I don't know. I mean, like you said, I don't get it either. I never have like that. But it's just that is not at all the only thing. That's one of the conditions you have to have, I think, to be one of these people is to be almost psychotic about needing power and control and being able to lord over others and stuff like that. Because I'm with you, dude. The only one of them who's ever hit for me, and hell, he might be terrible too, is fucking Tom from MySpace or whatever, because he built MySpace, sold that shit for $500 million and fucked off. And then he has stayed fucked off the whole time. And the rest of them, they just got to, you know, struggle right. for power between each other. And it's like, I just leave us alone, man.
Like, Genghis Khan at least had to conquer a bunch of territory. But Shlidesky's like, I want to stand upon sit upon a throne of skulls because I worked at a company that made a children's game.
A children's game, yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it don't hit. But hey, right. what does everybody anyway? With this show, hopefully you agree, this show still hits. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it. Reminder, go to treycrowder.com and check out my upcoming tour dates. Come and see me out there. And also go to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can go on Patreon and search for my name. $5 a month. You sign up, get 2 full-length bonus episodes, support the show in the process, get some more of it in your life. We hope you'll consider it. Either way, as long as you keep watching these here skews diversions, we'll keep making them. We appreciate you. Love you like chicken. See you. Bye.
Skew.